What is the focus that a person is supposed to have on Shavuos? As we go into Shavuos this evening, what is our focus? What should we be thinking about? What should we do? What should we be doing? What is, like, every Yontif has a doing component to it. Pesach, the Seder, Matzah, Sukkos, the Sukkah, Rosh Hashanah, Teshuvah, and the Shofar. These are bona fide biblical commandments on Shavuos, on these Yom Tovim. What is supposed to be doing on Shavuos? What is the, aside from the davening, what is supposed to be doing that marks Shavuos as being a Yontif and being a special Yontif? So I really appreciated the answer to this question based upon the custom of having dairy, on Shavuos, the custom. So what are the reasons for having dairy on Shavuos? So one reason, a bunch of reasons, one reason given, is that more famous reason is that the day the Torah was given, the Aseres Adibros, the Ten Commandments, and included in the Ten Commandments was the knowledge, the intuition of all of the mitzvahs, even though they weren't explicitly given yet to the Jewish people, because Moshe went on to then teach the mitzvahs as he learned them to the Jewish people. But contained within the Ten Commandments, the Aseres Adibros, Rav Sadia Gaon says, are all of the mitzvahs. The Ten Commandments are considered root mitzvahs for all of the Taryag mitzvahs. So within the Ten Commandments was also a knowledge of Shechita, of Kashrus, of the laws of Kashrus. So once the Torah was given, once the Aseres Adibros, the Ten Commandments were enunciated to the Jewish people at Har Sinai, and then they went back to their houses, says the Magen Avraham, they were stuck. They were in a bind now. What can they eat? Because if really, in a certain sense, the laws of Kashrus were already given, and there was some kind of, it implies that there was some type of knowledge and awareness of the laws of Kashrus, maybe because, it just occurred to me now, because we know that the office kept the mitzvahs. Many mitzvahs were known to the avos, to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Many mitzvahs were known to them, even though they weren't obligatory yet. You know, that Avraham Avinu, you know, was on Pesach. He was making matzah for the guests on Pesach. So many mitzvahs were known by the Jewish people prior to them becoming obligatory. So it just occurred to me now, maybe this is the understanding, when the Aseres Adibros were given, and now mitzvahs became obligatory. So maybe what the knowledge that they knew about Kashrus from beforehand, they now realize they have to now do it, and they have to now, they're obligated to do it. In which case, when they came back to their tents, their houses, or their tents, right? They weren't in a, they couldn't have meat. The pots were treif, right? They didn't have to, they couldn't do the shechita, and they didn't have time to shech the animals, to tabor the animals, to all the different halachas of kashering the animals and the milk, the salting of the meat, etc. So they were stuck. So therefore, they had dairy. They had dairy right away when they came back to their tents. So to commemorate that's why we have dairy. That's the Magen Avraham's reason. Mm. Right. Another reason given is because one more of a mystical reason given by the Bir Halacha, but another reason is the Kolbo says that milk is a metaphor for Torah, because it says in Shir HaShirim, honey and milk under your tongue. So the Torah is like milk. So therefore, because we're given the Torah on Shavuos, so therefore we have milk. The Gemara in Tainus says Torah is compared to water, wine, and milk. So Torah has a similarity, an equation to all these different liquids. So therefore, these are the reasons. But the reason which the Ramah brings is actually almost like a side reason. A side reason, back reason, to why we're having milk. Because he says the reason for the milk on the dairy on Shavuos is because of the requirement of commemorating the Shtei Lechem. The Shtei Lechem is the special sacrifice, the special offering which was brought on Shavuos, in contrast to the offering of barley which is brought on the day after Pesach, the Korban Omer, the Omer offering the day after Pesach. The special offering, in addition to the animal offering, the special offering of Shavuos was the offering of the Shtei Lechem, the two loaves of bread, which were made out of wheat, right? Made out of wheat. That was a special offering in times of the Beis HaMikdash. So in order to commemorate the Shtei Lechem, to commemorate the two loaves of bread, the special offering of Shavuos, therefore the rabbis created the custom of having dairy at the meal to facilitate having those two loaves of bread. How so? Mm-hmm. Because when you make a motzi at the meal, you have to have a suud on Yom Tov. So you make a motzi, and you have one bread, you have two loaves of bread actually in the Lechem Mishnah, but we're not satisfying the Shtei Lechem commemoration through the two loaves of bread of Lechem Mishnah. Lechem Mishnah is the Yontif for the sake of the Yontif and the Shabbos meal unto itself. But in order to commemorate the two loaves of bread for Shavuos, we have the loaves initially after Kiddush, and then we have dairy. We have some milchiks, we have some dairy. But in order to continue eating the meal, which typically a Yom Tov meal should consist of meat and wine, but you can't continue eating, just clear the table of the dairy and bring out the meat, because the meat, you're allowed to have meat after milk. You can do that as long as you wash your mouth out. But the bread which is on the table for the dairy has to be taken off.
Mm.
Because if you want to continue eating bread at the meal, the bread you ate with the dairy cannot be used with the meat, because that's the halacha. You're not allowed to have if you have bread on the table and it's being used for dairy or for milk, you have to discard that bread. Once the bread is on the table, laying on the table along in contact with the food. So if it was in contact with the dairy food at the table, and now you're taking the dairy away because you want to have the meat, you can't have the bread either, right? So now you have to bring a second loaf of bread out.
Mm-hmm.
So by bringing out the second loaf of bread, right, so that now symbolizes the Shtei Lechem. It reminds us of the Shtei Lechem, the two loaves of bread on Shavuos. So the first loaf of bread with the dairy is for one loaf of bread at the Shtei Lechem, and the second loaf of bread is for the second Shtei Lechem. You know, now you're eating with the meat. So the whole purpose of the dairy is only like to a vehicle. It's a stepping stone in order to have Shtei Lechem, to have the two loaves of bread, and the focus is the Shtei Lechem, the two loaves of bread, commemorating the carbon, the sacrifice of Shavuos. So the dairy is a very, very side reason. It's a very side reason. It's just a vehicle to facilitate having two loaves of bread. That's what the Ramah says. That's the reason for the custom of having dairy on Shavuos. So it's a very interesting, practically, halachically, the ramification of the different reasons is actually relevant, because the question is, which meal is ideal to have dairy at? Is there any preference? So depending on the reasons, if the reason is because of the first reason, which I said, the fact that they came after Kabbalah Satorah, the Torah was given, they went back to their tents and they weren't able to have meat and they had to have dairy perforce. So therefore it emerges that the first time that they really had to have dairy was in the daytime and not the nighttime, because the night before is not when the Torah was given. The Torah was given in the morning. The Torah was given in the morning on the 6th of Sivan. So it was only when they came back from Kabbalah Satorah, that's when they ended up having dairy. So therefore, that would drive the halacha and the custom to only have dairy at the daytime meal, not the nighttime meal. And similarly, right, the Shtei Lechem reason for the Shtei Lechem carbon sacrifice was not brought at nighttime of Shavuos; it was brought during the day of Shavuos, and hence the custom should be that you should have dairy in the daytime, not the nighttime, and there should be no precedent to having dairy at nighttime. But the other reason is because dairy milk is symbolic of Torah, then you can have it at nighttime as well. So there are different customs. And I saw in a sefer by Shmuel Kamenetsky that he says that whatever you want to do is fine. So you can have dairy at any meal you want. You know, there's basis for every custom. But it's very interesting, depending upon what the reason is, it would drive the different reasons, you know, the different times of having it. So, but these are the reasons for the dairy. So this last reason, though, of the Shtei Lechem. So again, it looks like that the dairy is just like a backdoor way in order to have the Shtei Lechem, which is a facilitator, in order to have a commemoration of the two loaves of bread of Shavuos. But the truth is, there's much more to it than that. Because what's the purpose of the Shtei Lechem? The purpose of the Shtei Lechem, the two loaves of bread of Shavuos, it was wheat. It was wheat, right? In contrast to the barley, which was brought, the barley offering of the Omer offering brought on the day after Pesach out of barley. So we've got from barley to wheat. What does that teach us? What is that? What's the message of the barley to wheat journey? Barley at the beginning of counting the Omer, and then wheat at the conclusion of counting the Omer with Shavuos.
Refinement.
So that's a message of refinement, of growth, because barley is considered more of an animal food, and wheat is considered a human food, a human consumption. So really gives us an image of the journey of going from being an animal to being a human, from being an animal from being a human. And that is ultimately the goal of the whole counting of the Sefiras HaOmer, and ultimately the goal of receiving the Torah. Because the goal of receiving Torah is to make us human, to make us human, to give us life as a human being. I was in the zoo yesterday with my grandchildren, and I was looking, you know, you look at you, it was a very quiet day, this, and there was not a lot of, there was just me and the two boys with it. So I had more time to like to think about and to contemplate and look at the, and you look at these animals, you know, looking at the gorilla, and they're just sitting there all day long. They're just eating on grass. And the gorillas are obviously, they have much more dexterity, and they seem to be much more intelligent than the snakes and the hippopotamuses, right? But they're just like loafing around all day long. They're just sitting around, they're doing nothing. Well, they're just sitting
there. They look at us, they think, we're doing that.
That's the problem, you're right. Because a lot of people are doing nothing. and it really is scary when you look at these animals and you wonder, like, am I much different to them? You know, are we much different to these animals? I mean, what makes us different? What makes a human being different from an animal? So it's certainly the mind, it's certainly the things which we can accomplish. But if we're just acting on automatic pilot, reacting to our desires and our wishes and our whims, then we are really being any different to an animal. So the Rambam says, listen, there's some powerful sources over here. The Rambam, in his commentary on in Mishnayos, so one of the comments he writes is this. He says, "Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek olam haba." Is every single Jew has a portion of the world to come. We all are destined to the world to come. Every single Jew has a portion in the world to come. So he continues. He says, "Eina roy lemi shehu rotza shiya ovid la'ava." It's not appropriate. It's not appropriate for somebody who wants to serve Hashem from love. It's not appropriate shiya ovid lahasig olam haba. It's not appropriate that he should serve and do mitzvahs for the sake of only receiving olam haba. Not appropriate to do that. Aval yesh la'avod al derech she'oma. You should serve Hashem and do mitzvahs in the way that I'm describing. And that is, k'she'amin she'esh sham chokma. When you believe and you understand and believe that there is a source of wisdom, the Torah, for who Torah is the Torah, shahagia al-neviyim, which came to the prophets, me'es habore yisalah, from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Torah comes from Hashem. When we believe that we have this Torah, which comes from Hashem, Shehudiyon bezeh hamidas atova same mitzvahs, which teaches inside of us, inside of it, the mitzvahs, the good midos, the midas atovas, the positive midos attributes of the mitzvahs, v'hamidas aroyos, and the bad midos, the negative commandments, the averas, the transgressions. When we contemplate that, in this Torah contains the instructions for life, the instructions of positive commandments, first positive mitzvahs, negative commitments, mitzvahs. Roilo mitzadshu adam yashu mezek. It's appropriate by virtue of the fact that a person is a straight and wholesome person, shiasa tovas, that one should go ahead and only do those things which are good, for yosem in a rois, and stay away from those things which are bad. For kashiasa, and when a person does this, when a person follows the mitzvahs of the Torah, Yishalem bo ha'inyanushe, humanity becomes formed, becomes complete. When a person performs mitzvahs, you become a human being. V'yanivdom in a behema, and you become distinct from an animal, the Rambam says. Mitzvahs make us distinct from an animal. If we're not doing mitzvahs, tragically, he says, if a person, well, he's going to quote a pasuk, if we're not doing mitzvahs, we're no different to an animal, which is acting like an animal, which is acting on automatic pilot, by desire, by passion, by reaction. When a person engages in mitzvahs, does the mitzvahs, you become shalem, you become a whole individual. You become nivdal min ha-behema, you become separated from an animal. For kashi adam shalem, who, meteva adam shalem, when a person is shalom, then now you are truly shalom. Now you have the mark. You have the mark of being an Adam. And this is what it says in Tehillim, in Psalms. Al tia kesus kaperi kaferet in haven. Don't be like an animal. Don't be like a horse, like a mule without any understanding. So the mitzvahs make us human. They make it's what creates the humanity of us. That's the Torah. Without the Torah, we wouldn't be a human. And that's why the wheat of the Shtei Lechem is so important, because it's that, because that symbolizes the wheat of the Shtei Lechem, the human food. Now we're eating, now we're human, we have the Torah. We're now humans, we have the Torah. We can now be a human being, at Tzelem Elokim, all of the wonderful descriptions of what a human being is. But by having the Torah, we now can become human. But what does the Torah mean? The Torah means the mitzvahs. the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs in the Torah is what gives us identity, identification, our identity as being human. But more than that, right, when a person is now shalem, you now have the mitzvahs in your life. I now, not just you, me, when I have mitzvahs in my life, I have my mitzvahs in my life. I was thinking to myself this morning, you know, what's the source of our Jewish pride? You ask the average Jew, what's the source of Jewish pride? So similar people say Israel. I mean, that's a big thing. That's a big source of Jewish pride, Israel. Nationhood, right? Nationhood and Israel, these are the common expressions on, you know, in the Jewish community at large, that Israel and nationhood and, you know, even tragically, anti-Semitism, what brings us together, the opposite, right? These are the things, these are the identifying marks of Judaism to the average Jew, which gives them his pride of being Jewish. Some people will even have their pride of being in Jewish, of studying Torah. Torah study is also a sort of Jew. But the truth is, that's the ultimate source of Jewish pride is the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs themselves, having mitzvahs in my life, which make me human, that should be the source of my Jewish pride. I should be ecstatic and excited because I have mitzvahs. That's what makes me a human being. And more than this, the Maharal says, in a bunch of different places, the Maharal says that when you're whole, when you're complete with mitzvahs in your life, all the mitzvahs in place, then you have joy. There's no greater joy than being shalem. There's no greater joy than being wholesome, than feeling a sense of wholesomeness within. He says, Od mevia Torah as adam, the Torah also brings a person to the madrega of mesamche lev, pasuk in Tehillim, mesamche lev, the mitzvahs and Torah brings joy to a person's heart. Pirushanach shava adam shum mitzias shalem al yedei Torah, a person is shalem, becomes whole and complete with the Torah. Therefore, who misamechas leiv ha'adam, therefore it brings joy to the person's heart. Shekasha ha'adam who b'shleimus, who b'simcha, because when a person is b'shleimus, when a person is shalem, is whole, is integrated, then he is b'simcha. That's the source of simcha, to be integrated, to be whole, to have no holes inside of you. V'hepach zeh, the opposite of that, kasha hu b'chisar, when a person is deficient and lacking, Ubavelus is in a state of mourning. So the mitzvahs give us shleimus, and the shleimus give us joy. And the Torah is the source of the mitzvahs, and therefore the mitzvahs are the source of our shleimus, and therefore the shleimus are the source of our simcha, and hence A equals B equals E equals D. Therefore, the Torah is the source of our ultimate simcha. And that's why the day of the giving of the Torah is described by many as being the most joyful day of the year. But if that's the case, it gives us a whole different appreciation on this custom of eating the cheesecake tomorrow. Well, let's say we eat it tomorrow, right? Because if you pay attention to your eating of the cheesecake in slow motion, according to the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles' explanation as to why we have cheesecake or dairy. Right? If you do it in slow motion, here I am, I'm making kiddush, I make hamotzeh, and I have a piece of cheesecake, and I'm munching on the cheesecake. So delicious. But as you're munching on the cheesecake, the Kolbo says we should be reminded and think about what the Kolbo says and what the Morantina says. Milk reminds us of Torah. Chewing this cheesecake. Torah. The Torah, as the source of mitzvahs. It gives me mitzvahs, it gives me shleimus, it gives me perfection, it makes me into a human being, and now I have the piece of bread, of wheat, the shtei lechem, the two loaves of bread. Torah is to make me human, which is now being done by eating this bread over here. The cheese, the milk is the Torah, which is making me whole, which is now facilitating me to become a human being, represented by the shtei lechem, the two loaves of bread. Right, that's the beauty of that. But this is what Shavuos. So, what is Shavuos about? Shavuos is about becoming whole through mitzvahs. It's appreciating the Torah as the source of our shleimus through mitzvahs. So, what is the avodah of Shavuos? You know what the avodah of Shavuos is? Just be a Jew. Just live by the book. Live by the book. That's what Shavuos is about. It's about the Torah was given to us. The Torah was given with all the mitzvahs to make a shalem, to give us the ultimate joy. So therefore, embrace it. Just, you know, you don't need extra mitzvahs. because extra mitzvahs would then negate and downplay all the other mitzvahs. Because the whole point of Shavuos is the Torah, with its prescription of mitzvahs, was given to us on this day.
Mm.
And therefore do the mitzvahs. Get up, say Shema. I mean it's remarkable. I mean, it's just every throughout the entire day, you've got so many mitzvahs to do. Get up in the morning. Look at find out from the Zmanim chart, the chart on the times of the Zmanim time. Find out when the earliest time for saying the Shema is. Find out when you can put on talis and tefillin. You don't put on tefillin on Shavuos and Yom Tov, but that's good. But just find out, open up a Shulchan Aruch, get to Shulchan Aruch, right? Find out what to do. Find out what to do. That's all you need to do on Shavuos. I mean, you have to do that. You know, there's a very interesting thing. This leads me to another point. I mentioned this on Sunday. And in fact, in the text, I said the class really happened on Shavuos. The reason for that question is because it's technical, but if you actually take a look at the calendar and how the days work out, we know that the Jewish people left Mitzrayim on a Thursday, the Gemara says. And we also know that the Torah was given on a Shabbos. So if we actually look at the calendar and calculate how many days there are between the day they left Mitzrayim and Shavuos, and when the Torah was given, it actually ends up being that the Torah was given on the 51st day after they left Mitzrayim, not the 50th day. The Torah says count 49 days, and then the 50th day is Shavuos. If you look at the calendar, it's very bizarre, is that it actually ends up being that the Torah was given on the 51st day after the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim. Now, the Gemara discusses this and says, because Moshe Rabbeinu added an extra day, the plan was that the Torah should be given on the 50th day after they left Mitzrayim, but Moshe suggested, it's a whole discussion unto itself, suggested to Hashem it should be given on the next day, and Hashem acquiesced to that, and therefore it was given on the 51st day. So it was given on the 51st day after they came out of Mitzrayim. Also, there's another source for this as well. So it's very bizarre, because it actually emerges that the 6th of Sivan, tonight, tomorrow, is really, according to this conclusion, is not really the day the Torah was given. The Torah was really given on the 51st day, which is the 7th of Sivan, which is the Shabbos. Which is a strange, it's a very, very strange thing. But that's, if you just look at the calendar, look at the calculations, look at the Gemara, it emerges that the Torah was given on the 51st day, which is the 7th of Sivan, and the 6th of Sivan, which is the date on the calendar that we celebrate Shavuos, is really, technically speaking, not the day the Torah was given. It's an astounding idea. But without going too much into that, the message of this other point is really very is relevant to that, because if Torah is all, if Shavuos is all about living by the book, then it doesn't make a difference what day of the week it is, what day of the year it is, because every day of the year, if you're living by the book, you're living Shavuos. Mm-hmm. You're living Torah every, so therefore it's not by accident that Shavuos ends up, that we're celebrating Shavuos on the day the Torah was not given, mm-hmm. the day beforehand, to hit home the message, because the point of Shavuos and the point of the Torah is to give shleimus and to have fulfillment of mitzvahs every single day of the year, whether it be a Yom Tov or whether it be a mundane day. Now, it is a Yom Tov. We celebrate it as a Yom Tov. But again, what is the avod of Shavuos? Live by the book. Live by the book. Find out what time Kriya Shema is and say it in the right time. Say it. Learn how to say it properly. Have the right kavod. I mean, it goes on. There's so many mitzvahs and there's so many halachas. It's not overwhelming. You take it step by step, by step by step. Over the course of time, you build up and you learn more and you end up living by the book. That's what Shavuos is. What's the source of our Jewish pride? What's the source? Is the source of my Jewish pride Israel and nationhood? You got it wrong. That's not the source of Jewish pride. The source of Jewish pride, it all comes from the Bible, doesn't it? What does the Bible say? The Bible, the Torah, mitzvahs. That's our source of Jew. So if I'm fulfilling mitzvahs, then I'm proud of being a Jew. If I'm not fulfilling mitzvahs, then what are you proud for? You're proud of Israel. It's good, nice. It's all good. But that's not the source of Jewish pride. The source of Jewish pride has to be the mitzvahs and the relationship with Hashem. That's what Shavuos is live by the book. That's what Shavuos is. So from this perspective, Shavuos is, I'm saying presently, Shavuos is about the fulfillment of the Torah. The fulfillment of the Torah. Now, many people speak also with respect to Shavuos, not just about the fulfillment of the mitzvahs, but about learning Torah. That's also a big feature of Shavuos, and that's why the custom is to stay up all night long. But as I said before, it's interesting that custom is not brought in the Shulchan Aruch. But nonetheless, you know, a big focus is made on Shavuos about learning Torah, and many, many maimorim and essays and discussions and lectures about the importance of learning Torah. And that's also a big part of Shavuos, appreciating not just the fulfillment of the mitzvahs, but appreciating and deepening our connection, a connection to the actual learning of the Torah itself. It's actually an interesting thing because on the superficial, shallow, naive level, you could look at the Torah as purely as an instruction manual to give us instructions about what to do and how to do it. In which case, therefore, the entire purpose of Torah is purely in order to know what to do. And if that would be the case, there would be no intrinsic power and significance to the actual learning of Torah itself, because Torah is just a vehicle. It's a instruction for how to perform mitzvahs. And that's true, that Torah is for that purpose, to how its instructions, it provides the instructions of all the mitzvahs. But is there any intrinsic power of the learning itself? Well, of course, we know the answer to that. Yes, of course, there's a tremendous power and intrinsic energy in the learning itself. So much so, that's why I said before, so much so sometimes people find that Jewish pride in the learning of Torah and don't do the mitzvahs, right? Because they recognize either by education or by intuition, they recognize that there's a tremendous power in the learning of Torah itself. But again, that's not the only purpose of Torah. I mean, you know, it happens to be the biggest mitzvah of all mitzvahs of learning Torah. But if a person only engages in that, doesn't do the mitzvahs, they've missed the point. So you've got to start off by doing mitzvahs. That's the first relationship to Torah. The Torah, when Torah was given, instructions for how to do mitzvahs was given, which then thereby gives us our shleimus, which gives us our greatest simcha in life. And now, once we have our mitzvahs in place, we have a body doing mitzvahs, we can now think more about the actual mitzvah of learning Torah itself. There's an intrinsic power of learning Torah. I want to read to you. It takes a few minutes to read this, but this is just, every line is so powerful. This is from Derech Hashem, the way of God. And he gives us instruction, not about mitzvahs, that was the first part of the discussion, but this is now about learning Torah into itself. What is the right attitude to learning Torah? In order to have its desired effect, and I discussed it before this, how the Torah has a very, very profound spiritual effect upon us in the learning itself. In the learning of Torah itself, it has a very, very deep impact upon the soul. But in order for the Torah to make an impact upon us, study of the Torah must conform to two conditions. Number one, reverence for the study itself. And number two, constant tikkun, hamasa, constant rectification of behavior. Performance, fulfillment. The only reason why the Torah has any power at all as an entity to learn is because God bound his most precious influence to it, making it dependent on the Torah. It is for this reason the reciting and comprehending it can transmit this influence. Even if you read the words without understanding it, even if you don't understand the words, the Hebrew words themselves have impact upon the soul. If God had not made it so, then the Torah would be no different from any other educational book involving the various aspects of natural inquiry. These books may contain accurate and valuable information, but they don't incorporate any significance and excellence in the soul of a person who reads, recites, or comprehends them. You know, when you were reading your nephrology books, and I'd hate to cause pain to you right now, right? But any medical book or any books of law, any, you know, would anyone ever imagine, or someone suggests that the reading of this book is like imbuing you with holiness and sanctity, right?
I don't think so.
Not at all. Right? There's no holiness. There's nothing. Learning this, right? Reading these books, just the act of reading it, you can't see it necessarily, but the soul is being impacted by these words because it's Torah. The other books don't incorporate any significance. But books such as these, furthermore, have absolutely no power to rectify creation. The influence of the Torah, however, is a godly thing, as discussed earlier. Not only that, but it's the highest and most important of all the concepts transmitted and conveyed by God to man. because of this fact, it's imperative that one should have reverence and awe, A-W-E, when involved in the Torah. What one is then doing is approaching his God and involving himself in the transmission of the great light from Hashem to himself. The individual involved in the Torah should therefore be abashed by his human lowliness and tremble before God's loftiness. He should rejoice in what he can attain, but even this should be combined with the greatest possible awe. It is all the more important that one not behave frivolously when involved in the Torah and not show any disrespect for its books or their words. When occupied with the Torah, one must realize before whom he stands. When one fulfills these conditions, then his study of the Torah is as it should be. He can then draw down the influence discussed earlier and incorporate in himself godly excellence as well as rectify and illuminate all creation. If this condition is not met, reverence is not met, then it will not result in any such illumination. The illumination will not have an impact upon him. And reciting the words of the Torah will be no different from any other human speech. Reading it will be no different from reading a letter, and thinking about it no different from considering any worldly matter. Quite to the contrary, such involvement will be considered a misdeed, since the person is approaching the holy without reverence and behaving frivolously while speaking in the presence of his creator and occupying himself with his holiness. The value of a person's study and the level of the resulting influence therefore vary according to the degree of this reverence, his reverence, and the measure of his respect and attentiveness. So that's condition number one, respect, reverence, and awe when learning Torah. And to chas v'shalom, to laugh at, to poke fun, and to be cynical, it's such an avla, it's a terrible, it's horrific. I mean, when we're involved in Jewish outreach, Jewish education to the masses, it tends to happen. A little bit more of a kind of joking around, and people make a laugh and make a joke. I can tell you the following. You know, if anyone has ever experienced, or God forbid, done it themselves, and made a little bit of a kind of poke, like a little bit of a joke about something they're learning, you know, very like a, if I can tell you that if that would be done in a yeshiva, you'd feel like a thunderbolt had hit you. It's so forbidden. It's so fundamentally, intrinsically forbidden to express any tiny measure of cynicism and jokiness about words of Torah. You know, it's like a slap in the face of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Like he's the creator of the universe speaking to us, and we're making a joke. It's horrific. It's a horrific thing to do. So reverence is the first condition that Ramchal says for the learning of Torah, for the learning of the reverence. The second condition goes back to the whole purpose of the Torah to make us whole with the mitzvahs. And therefore, the second condition is the rectification of one's behavior, is implementation, is application. One who wishes to draw down God's influence in the learning of Torah should be one who is worthy and prepared to do so. If a person defiles himself with sin and guilt, if a person is you know, forgive the expression, smelly from averus, smelly, spiritually smelly from averus, he then divorces himself from his creator and corrupts himself through the forces of pollution, impurity. He puts himself into the category, he places himself in the category regarding that which is written. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, to the wicked, God says, what do you have speaking my statutes? Who are you speaking my statutes? Who are you speaking my laws? Our sages likewise teach us, whoever teaches an unworthy student is like one who commits idolatry by casting a stone in the worship of Mercury. This is was a type of Avodah Zarah. When a person is unworthy, a study of the Torah will certainly not draw down any of the above mentioned influences in any degree whatsoever. So a person is not fulfilling the mitzvahs. I mean, it's a very, very shaking idea. The Kedusha, the holiness, the power of Torah, of the learning of Torah, does not make an impact upon the person who is not engaged in fulfilling the mitzvahs. Wow. Our sages have revealed a very great mystery, however. Namely, and this is a little bit of a consolation, that if the wicked would only not abandon the study of the Torah, they would ultimately return to God. even though they do not have the power to transmit anything from God, as discussed above. The words of the Torah themselves are intrinsically holy. So this is a very interesting idea, right? There's a spiritual power to the learning itself. That for that to full to take place, it has to be fulfilled by somebody who is fulfilling mitzvahs. For the intrinsic holiness of the Torah to impact the individual, that individual has to be worthy, has to be fulfilling mitzvahs. But if he's not fulfilling mitzvahs, is it for naught? Is there no value whatsoever? The answer is no, because nonetheless, the words themselves can still lead a person to the better path. The words of the Torah themselves are holy, and one who consistently involves himself with the Torah therefore constantly receives a small measure of spiritual motivation from it. You can't say that a person is not doing mitzvahs. Of course, we 90% of Jews are not doing mitzvahs properly, but they are being influenced by the Torah. They're being influenced by the ideas. The ideas and the messages and the inspiration is leading them along the right path. And that's why it says, if the wicked would only just not abandon the Torah, then the Torah would lead them to the right path. But that's because of the ideas, the messages, and the light of the ideas. But in terms of this special higher level of Kedusha, the higher level of sanctity, which the Torah imbues to the recipient, it's not there. Even though this is the barest possible shadow of the true illumination, the fact that it is constantly reinforced gives it the power to ultimately overcome a person and make him good again. Our sages thus teach that God said, if they would only have kept my Torah, the light in it would bring them back to the good. But then he says one last caveat. It's obvious, however, that this is not true of an individual who involves himself with the Torah scornfully or frivolously. It also does not apply to one who perverts its true meaning. The only time the Torah can have even this benefit is when a person involves himself with it with the same seriousness and intellectual honesty that one should have when studying any other discipline. So it goes back to that idea of looking at it scornfully. There's no impact whatsoever. So in learning Torah itself, two conditions are necessary. Number one is reverence and awe for the learning. And number two, fulfillment. If a person is missing that, or a person is missing the fulfillment, then the higher level of Kedusha, sanctity, power in the Torah does not have an impact upon it. However, there is a measure of light in it, and certainly from a pragmatic perspective, there's so many instructions, so many wise, directive ideas that the Torah leads a person to the right path. But it goes without saying that pursuing, growing in one's fulfillment and learning with reverence and awe are absolutely just axioms in the process of learning. So Shavuos is about that as well. So Shavuos is all about the full-blown appreciation of the Torah in terms of it being the source of the mitzvahs to make us human beings, to give us our human identity. That's one identity of dimension of Shavuos. And therefore, this dimension of Shavuos is live by the book, just simply live by the book, follow the mitzvahs that the Torah is giving to us. And the second dimension of the Torah is to appreciate the Torah itself as a source of light, of eternal light and spiritual light from Hashem, that light can impact upon us as long as we make an effort to fulfill, and as long as we learn it with reverence. So this is what Shavuos is. This is it's brought down by the Shavuos. Again, I said before, the Shavuos is described the Seder Hayom writes, "B'chagah Shavuos, Rosh Yismach Ba'adam Simcha Yaseir." A person should be happier with a greater degree of joy. Because it's the day the Torah was given. Everyone agrees about its tremendous kedusha being more kaddish than other yom tovim. There's a famous debate in the Gemara about how a yom tov should be spent, the ideal way to fulfill a yom tov. So some say that so the question is, are you allowed to fast on the yom tov? Should the yom tov be given totally to Hashem through learning and through study and not eating, or maybe eating barely a small amount and not having a suda? But others say, no, you have to have a suda, it has to be lechem as well. It has to be partially to lechem. But the Gemara says, everybody agrees with Shavuos that you definitely have to have lechem which means to yourself, which means you have to have enjoyment yourself. You have to enjoy the experience of Shavuos itself. Why? Because Rashi says, Shenoach u'mekubel Yom Zeh, because this day should be desirable and enjoyable to the Jewish people because the Torah was given, and therefore you should have a Suda. The Suda is essential to have a Suda on Shavuos because it's marking this tremendous joy that a person is having. It's appropriate to have joy and delight with the Simcha of the Torah on this Yom Tov more than any other Yom Tovim. Because this is what gives us life. This is what makes us different from those chimpanzees and those gorillas inside the zoo yesterday. It's the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs make us into our humanity. And again, I just want to say it again, because I for myself, I'm thinking about, as I'm eating that cheesecake, as I'm eating the milk, the dairy, to meditate on, this is Torah, this is symbolic of the Torah, which is now facilitating me to eat the second loaf of bread, the shtei lechem, which is symbolic of my humanity. Torah gives us our identity as being humans. That's what Shavuos is. It's a very beautiful idea.